So, Professor Gill, why is it that the highest rates of obesity are concentrated in Sydney's west?
Well, of course, there is a huge social divide within Sydney's suburbs, with more of the people from the mid to lower socioeconomic situations living in the suburbs further out from the CBD region. And so not only obesity, but a lot of health conditions are much more prevalent in people who live in the outer suburbs of Sydney. Now, a lot of people say, well, this is because people who are less educated don't know what to eat, and they don't take the time to exercise and do things like that. That couldn't be further from the truth. People in those outer suburbs are just as concerned about their health as people in the inner city suburbs, but they don't have the same opportunities and resources. If you live in an area where you're required to travel quite a considerable distance to work, if you live in a region where to purchase your home both partners within the house are required to work, then you're spending a lot more time away from home. You don't have the time or the opportunity to prepare your own food. You're relying much more on food bought outside of the house. And you don't get the time to exercise in the way that people who live much closer to work are able to do.
So would that explain why Mount Druitt, one of our furthest flung suburbs, has the highest rate of cardiovascular disease, as well as one of the lowest socioeconomic incomes in Sydney?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there is also particular ethnic groups that concentrate in certain suburbs that also have a genetic propensity to higher risk of certain diseases as well. But generally, disease patterns follow the opportunities for a healthy lifestyle. And where those opportunities for a healthy lifestyle are less available to people, you know, they just don't have the time and the options and financial resources to get up at 7 o'clock and go to the gym, because at 7 o'clock they're getting up and driving into work.
Sure. Now, even in some of Sydney's more slender suburbs closer to the harbour, residents still have a high rate of cholesterol. Why is this?
Well, I think there are still certain aspects of our way of living in Australia today that, regardless of our socioeconomic status, still have a negative impact on our overall health. And I think ultimately our food supply today and our way of eating today has shifted across all suburbs in a negative way. So that we are tending to eat out a lot more often. We don't prepare our own food, so we don't know what's going into it. The foods that are readily available, and particularly available to purchase quickly and to eat in a hurry, so to speak, still contain the types of fats that aren't necessarily good in terms of promoting good cardiovascular health and reducing our cholesterol levels.
Sure. Now, the piece in the Sydney Morning Herald linked that there was a high levels of risky drinking as well as high levels of obesity. So risky drinking in the east, obesity in the west. But what is the greater problem? Is it the drinking or eating? What could do us more damage?
Well, obviously, in the short term, excessive alcohol, particularly risky drinking, is an incredibly dangerous issue, not only to our health, but to our social well-being as well. I don't think there's any value in trying to sort of compare risk factors and say, it's better to do one than the other. But certainly, for our overall health, we need to be looking at all these aspects of good behaviour, and that is eating well, getting plenty of exercise, only a moderate amount of alcohol with no binging around it, not smoking, and also getting plenty of sleep, which is the other problem if you live a long way out from work.
That's a nice long list for us all to work on. What problems will our health system face if we don't work on that list of issues?
Well, the most immediate health problem, which is starting to swamp our healthcare system at the moment, is the enormously fast rising rates of type 2 diabetes. So within New South Wales, almost 100 new type 2 diabetics are diagnosed every day, which is an alarming thought. And what's more concerning to people who work within the healthcare system is that we see that that our younger adults are actually those people who are developing the risk factors for type 2 diabetes much quicker than actually older adults. So younger adults are putting on weight at a much faster rate. They're actually still continuing to smoke to a degree, whilst older adults are giving it up. And they're engaged in that risky alcohol consumption.
If people are concerned about their own susceptibility to type 2 diabetes or any other of these health factors, where should they go to seek help?
Well, the first place to go is to raise it with your family doctor, your GP. Even at a stage before you develop the signs of diabetes, it's important to understand your risk, because it is much easier to prevent these conditions than to spend a lot of time and effort trying to manage them further down the track. So that small behaviour changes early on can make a big difference to your risk and to your quality of life, not just your length of life, but your quality of life later on. So speaking with your family doctor, who can undertake a few small tests to assess your risk and advise appropriately.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us, Professor Gill.